Very thankful with all that's gone before this evening. While he was up here preaching to us and trying to encourage us to look past all of our things and unto God, it reminded me of if this won't offend anybody, but if this is just weird to someone, you can blame my Aunt Amanda for it. During the whole time I was sitting there, and I had one VeggieTales song stuck in my head, and it is "God is Bigger." The chorus goes something like, "God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me."
Amen.
There's some good theology in that, and we just heard a wonderful message, how God is watching out for you and I in this life, and we need to look up to him and find our strength and encouragement in him.
Right.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to John chapter 4, just for a few moments. I would like to look at this scene between Jesus and this Samaritan woman who meets him at the well of Jacob. And we'll just start in verse 3 of John chapter 4. "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." That is one of the most profound verses that I can think of, especially in this particular scene, for the sheer fact that Jesus is doing something that is so countercultural to Jews at the time. They would go so far out of their way to walk around Samaria just so they didn't have to even touch the soil of Samaria. That's just how much they detested and despised and looked down on Samaritans. And here John writes that Jesus Christ, not only did he just go through Samaria, he must needs go through Samaria. He was walking through Samaria with a particular purpose. In verse 5, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Jesus, in his humanity, in his flesh, was tired and weary of his travels, and he sits down next to this well of Jacob, waiting. It is, John says, it's the sixth hour. It is noontime. It is the hottest part of the day, and he is just sitting there at the well. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." So Jesus is here all alone. His disciples have gone into the city to go buy supplies and food and whatnot for their journey. And Jesus is here alone at the well. And here comes this woman of Samaria coming to get water. Now, one of the most profound things about this scene is this isn't the time of day where people went and got water. You either went and got water early in the morning where it wasn't so hot, so you had water for the day for when it was hot, you had something to drink and cool off with, or you went in the evening time when it was cooler so you could bathe and do all that stuff and have water for the morning. You didn't do this in the highest part of the day. This doesn't make sense. But here's this woman who thought it was best for her to go to this well, to go out of her way, to wait till she was all alone to go to this well. And I can just picture this scene as she's walking up all alone, And we'll get a little deeper into the story, into this account, and really find out why she was, and you can probably infer the reasons why she was doing it at this time of day. But I can just picture in my mind, because I'm like this sometimes, where if I want to be alone and I'm going somewhere where I know no one is going to be, and I get there and someone is there, I'm in a bad mood. I went this time because I didn't want to see anyone. Here's this woman who's going to the well of Jacob to get water, to be alone, and there's this man at the well. And not only is he a man, he's a Jewish man. This isn't going to be fun for her. This isn't going to be a pleasant experience for her. And I'm sure she's just getting closer and closer, and she's just grinding her teeth about the whole situation. And then he has the audacity to look at her and say, "Give me something to drink." "So then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me to drink? Ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It's almost like she's saying, "Sir, are you confused? I know it's hot. Is the sun confusing you? Or what's going on here? Do you not realize who I am? Have you forgotten who you were? Do you understand that we don't talk? Do you understand that we don't communicate with one another?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus says, if you really knew the situation, if you really understood who I am, if you really understood what I can give you, if you could really grasp what really is taking place right before your eyes, you would be looking at the situation totally differently than what you are right now. He says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" This woman clearly has no idea what Jesus is talking about. I wouldn't either. I would have no idea what Jesus is talking about. He's here at a well, and Jesus is talking about he could give her living water, but yet he doesn't even have a bucket. He doesn't have anything to draw water out of. He doesn't even have a physical place for water to be drawn out of. And she's like, "You really must be confused, sir. I don't think you are in the right frame of mind. I don't think you really understand what you're saying." Jesus, in verse 13, says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now we see one reason why Jesus went to this well. Jesus is going to this well and had a purpose to meet with this woman to teach her a lesson. And he's going to use this physical well to paint a real illustration to her of something that she keeps doing in her life over and over and over again. Jesus says people every single day are going to keep continuing coming back to this well to get water because they keep being thirsty over and over and over and over again. It will never, ever end. But he says, "I have water that if you drink from, you will never be thirsty again. Jesus is saying, your thirst will be satisfied in its entirety. You will not be thirsty ever again. Notice what it says, that I will give him, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is saying, I have the ability to give you water that's on the inside, that it will never run dry. That I have the ability to place a well inside of you that will never ever run dry, that you can drink from all the time. And notice what it says, springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is saying that this well doesn't cause everlasting life, but it is what flows into it. This word "into" gives the word picture of walking from in a doorway into the room. You walking through the doorway doesn't make the room exist, come into existence. You walk into the room because it already exists. Here's Jesus Christ saying, I have the ability, woman of Samaria, I have the ability to satisfy your soul. Something that I know that you're longing for. Something that I know that you want. Amen. I have the ability to give you a well of water that you will never have to be thirsty again, that you get to, that it springs up into everlasting life. That means that you get to experience and hold on to and enjoy everlasting life in this life, right here, right now. Whenever you're thirsty, wandering this wilderness of life, Jesus is saying, woman, I have the ability to give you that well. I have that ability to give you that water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You can just hear her desperation. Again, she's coming to this physical well in the very hottest part of the day. And she just doesn't want to do it anymore. You can hear her wait. When she says, just can I please have it? I don't want to be thirsty again. I don't want to come to this well and keep drawing water. Can I have what you're offering? Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. He says, okay, but before I do give you this, I need you to go call your husband. I need you to bring your husband here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Here's Jesus saying, yeah, I know your situation. I know that you're speaking truth right now, that you don't have a husband. But I also know the deeper story behind it all is that you've had five. And this one that you're with now is also not your husband. Just for a little while, I want us to look at this scene and what Jesus Christ has done here. Jesus Christ is using this well, this physical well, Jacob's well, there in Samaria, to paint a picture for this woman of Samaria. A living illustration of something that she is doing in her life right now. Each and every day, she is going to this well in Samaria to fetch water. And she is going back over and over and over again, because it doesn't matter, every single day you will end up needing water and you will end up being thirsty. Jesus is using this to get to her on the inside and saying, I need you to realize that what you are drinking from in your life, woman of Samaria, I need you to realize that you will never be satisfied. Your soul will never be satisfied drinking from those wells of those relationships that you keep running to. It reminds me of Jeremiah, where in Jeremiah chapter 2, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jesus Christ is bringing this physical, tangible example to her mind to show her that the things that she keeps running to is just broken cisterns that hold no water for her, and she will never ever be satisfied. Now, I don't know, this is for the woman of Samaria, but I don't know what all of your broken cisterns are. I know if you're honest with yourself, you know what you keep running back to. You know what you keep thinking will satisfy your soul and your thirst. I know that you are thinking of something that you keep running back to over and over and over again. Jesus Christ is telling you, just like he's telling the woman at the well, that those things will never satisfy your soul. You keep running to him. I'm reminded, you know, during this time in the first century, men could divorce women just because they were tired of them and didn't want to be around them anymore, and said, "I'm divorcing you, and go find someone else to marry." On their wedding nights, if they were to discover something that they didn't physically like, you know, that they could actually divorce them right then and there. Here is this woman who time after time after time again took the vows and went into a covenant that was supposed to last until death do them part. Time after time after time again, it never worked out. What was she looking for? It reminds me of what Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, whenever Naomi heard that God had visited Bethlehem again after the famine, and after Naomi's husband and two sons died, Naomi was going to go back to Bethlehem. And Naomi looks at her two daughter-in-laws and prays a prayer for them and says, I pray that you find rest in your husband's home. Naomi was saying, I pray that out of all the things that you can find in your husband, that you're able to find rest for your souls, that you're able to find comfort and peace there with your husband. I have a feeling that this woman, time after time again, that's all she was looking for. That's why she kept running back to him, because these men were offering rest, offering peace, offering shelter, offering support and strength. And time after time again, they failed and failed and failed. And she clearly now has no idea what to do. And here's the thing. Her running to those things over and over again is the reason, more than likely, why she's getting water in the middle of the day. People are mean. They'll talk about people behind their back and to their face. They'll whisper just loud enough so someone could hear them, just so that they know that they're saying something about them, so they can feel the judgment. Here's this woman that's going to this well the middle of the day, because I'm sure she's just tired of it all. Clearly, her soul is not satisfied. She's carrying a weight that is so terribly heavy. And here's Jesus saying, I know what you keep running to. You have to stop. That's never going to satisfy you. You will never find the peace you're looking for. You will never find the rest you're looking for. Child of God, I don't know what you're running to. Stop running to it. You'll never find what you're looking for there. You never will. But what will you find? If this relationship of a groom that she's looking for, a stable relationship, a place where she can find rest, I find it very fitting that in the previous chapter, in John chapter 3, John the Baptist literally calls Jesus Christ the bridegroom. Here's this woman who has had 5 husbands and is living with someone who isn't her husband now, and she's talking to her bridegroom, her eternal bridegroom. And all he's saying, I have something to give you if you just quit running to all of those things. I have something that I can give you that you can have. If you just quit running to all of the things that are not me. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I love how she completely just changes the subject. You know, whenever someone puts their finger right on the issue that you know is troubling your soul, that you just don't want to deal with, that you don't want to talk about because it's uncomfortable, you're going to change the subject. She's changing the subject and she's saying, you know, you're a prophet. I can tell that you're a prophet. And then she talks about worship and who's right and who's wrong when it comes to worship. In verse 25, After Jesus explains that there's going to come a time when the true worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth, and that God is a spirit, that when it comes to worship, the way that things are going to be different, the woman responds and says, You know, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You know what she's saying? She says, you know, I don't know if I like that answer, really. But I do know one thing. When the Messiah comes, all of these things that we're debating, all of these troubles, all of these differences, when the Messiah comes, everything will be made right. You know, I'm thankful that there is coming a day when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will part the skies. And when he comes, he's going to make all things right. I'm longing for that day. But here's this woman saying, yeah, I know that the Messiah is real. I know that he's going to come. And I know that he's going to tell us all things. I know he's going to tell us the way to live. I know that he's going to show us what we need to do in this life. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee. Am he? Do you understand how profound that statement is. He just told her that he was the Messiah. And not only was he the Messiah that was to come, that he's the Messiah that is right now. That this is happening right now. It's real right now. This isn't something that's going to happen in the future. It's real right now. Notice what it says in verse 28. After Jesus has explained who he was and revealed truly who she was, who he was to her. In verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. This woman had an evangelistic message to tell the people of Samaria that the Messiah that they had been waiting for as well is not only real, but he is really real and he is tangible and he is over there at the well of Jacob. But I want you to notice, she left with an empty water pot. She left her home with an empty water pot. She got to the well where Jesus was with an empty water pot, going to get something to drink, going to fill the water up, going to fill the pot up with water. And she left that because she found something better. She found something better, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here is this woman. Can you not see for just the briefest moments in your mind that this concept that this woman has found that well of living water that she is now able to drink from because she knows the Messiah is real, that she is able to see and draw from that water, that experience that she had. And she, I can just tell you that she, her life changed. Those people that she was trying to avoid, she went to go talk to and evangelize. She didn't worry about that anymore. Why? Because she quit drinking from broken cisterns, and she was drinking from the well of living water that is springing up inside of her. The life, the everlasting life that she already had, that Jesus Christ gave her. And it's in her that she's finding her peace and her rest and her strength to go on day by day. She's not going to those relationships because she's found something better. She's found that well that she can drink from and never be thirsty ever again. That she doesn't have to keep going back to all of these things. All of these things that keep weighing her down in this life. But she now has Jesus. Child of God, I don't know what you're running to. I don't know what broken cisterns you put your faith in. I don't know what you keep running to over and over and over again. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is real, and he's standing at the well of whatever well you keep going back to and saying, I have something better for you. Drink of me. Learn of me. Follow after me. Live in the everlasting life that I'm giving you. Receive the joy of thy salvation. I pray these things be some blessing and benefit to you. May God bless you is my prayer.